Mildred met his gaze and nodded slowly.
Maybe you're right, Ryan. And you saved my ass back there, so I thank you. But I don't know if I'll ever get used to Deathlands.
I hope you don't.
Jack was staring past the smoldering ruin of what had been their hut toward the far hillside.
They're coming. Hear 'em.
Ryan's worry was that the surviving Norsemen might try to cut them off before they could reach the ridge, or that they knew a quicker route that would bring them into the tropical jungle toward the redoubt faster than the companions could travel. There hadn't been time to carry out any sort of check on who had been killed in the brief firefight, but Ryan was sure that the Viking Baron Toraldson had escaped. So had the young warrior Eric Stonebiter. He guessed the better part of 20 able fighting men could pursue them. Then again, after such a devastating defeat and so many lost, it was even more possible that there would be no pursuit at all.
By the three Kennedys.
Hi, Doc.
Upon my soul, Ryan, I swear that I nearly jumped out of my skin. I never heard you approaching.
Just grabbing a few seconds of shut-eye, were you, Doc?
When I need your common insinuations, John Barrymore Dix, I shall most certainly ask you for them.
What was that? John Barrymore Dix? Boy, no wonder you stick with JB. I've got to remember that.
They'd met up once again with Doc Tanner on the steep, snaking trail that rose crookedly from Markland toward the distant ridge. With the trees closing in around them, it was impossible to see more than 100 yards in any direction. Both Christy and Jack were agreed that they could no longer hear any sounds of pursuit, which could mean that the Vikings had chosen to remain behind in their vill and mourn their dead. A heavy shower of rain began, which in no time soaked them all and dampened their spirits. It also turned the path into a treacherous mudslide. Only Jack and Ryan avoided falling in the greasy furrows, picking their way through virtual darkness. The moon had waned, disappearing eventually behind swooping banks of thick chem clouds that had ridden in from the north. Another problem that slowed their progress was fog. It lay like a wide ribbon of silver-gray velvet across the expanse of the Great Lake below them. But it was also gathering itself above them, near the ridge. It seeped over from the wide valley on the farther side, spilling silently between the trees, softening the stark silhouettes, and dropping visibility to close to zero. Though Jack's eyesight wasn't that great in the brightness of day, he saw better at night than any of them, even better than Christy with her mutie-enhanced vision. Now he took the lead, making his way cautiously up the slippery track, followed by the rest, who were guided by the beacon of his white mane of hair. But it was painfully slow progress. After Doc had fallen heavily, nearly spraining his ankle, Ryan called a halt.
Nah, it's double stoop to go on. We can't see properly. Trail's dangerous. Best wait up for first light.
What about the locals?
JB leaned against a tree, trying to wipe clotted mud off his boots. Ryan brushed rain from his forehead.
Yeah, that worries me too. They'll know this place a lot better than us. They'll know we're making for the top of the hill. Follow our marks easy in this mud.
Wait, ambush the fuckers.
No, Jack. If we were sure, real sure they were coming this way, we could do that. Chop them down from cover, but we don't. Likely there's plenty of hunting trails up and over the top of the mountain. Who knows which one?
Only the shadow knows.
What?
The combination of rain, driven from over the water on the teeth of a rising wind, and drifting slabs of bitter fog, made it a thoroughly miserable night for all of them. The temperature fell sharply after midnight, and Ryan insisted that they huddle together for warmth and protection.
Whew! If those mad Vikings want to come up in this weather and try and take me, then they're goddamn welcome to me. I've got something for their asses.
The dawn's early light brought virtually no improvement to conditions. The wind was close to gale force and carried the stinging bite of acid rain. Not the most acidic Ryan had ever experienced, but bad enough to irritate the eyes and taste sour on the skin. The fog had cleared, but the sun wasn't able to cut through the swaths of dark cloud. Parts of the path were sheeted in orange mud, and it took the companions another 3 hours to get close to the top of the hill. The tight mass of conifers had gradually thinned, and mud was replaced by loose stones. Out on the exposed flank of the mountain, the wind had risen to a ferocious howling that plucked at the clothes and made breathing difficult.
Once we get over the ridge, it should ease a whole lot.
Ah! Doc was doubled over, hands on his knees, hawking up strings of pale spittle.
Oh, I confess that I did not care over much for that fetid heat we encountered when we first came to Minnesota. Yet it would be thrice welcome after this damnable, piercing wind.
He turned to squint up the path.
How much farther, Ryan?
Not far, Doc. Maybe another quarter hour, and then it'll be all downhill.
His estimate was a touch optimistic. The last 100 yards had to be covered on hands and knees, the gale tearing at them, driving them toward the spine of the hill. One by one, they crawled over the top, grateful to see the lush jungle ahead. Ryan was last over, gasping for breath. Even 20 feet down the other side, the lee of the slope protected them, and life was hugely easier.
Yeah, all downhill now.
This climate's like being in a Holiday Inn sauna. But in a Holiday Inn, it's a lot of fun.
Not far from the real serious jungle. This scrub's okay for safety. No chance of an ambush here. A couple 100 feet lower down the path, things could get nasty.
And there's all kinds of wildlife in the forest down there. Not home and safe yet. Double care.
Make it triple.
After the chill air near the lake and the banks of icy fog, the tropical heat farther down the trail was overwhelming. The sickly scent of exotic flowers swamped everyone's breathing, and the sweltering humidity reduced the friends to sweating misery. As soon as they reached the point where the path grew less steep and the lush foliage met in a dark green ceiling, it became an effort to continue walking. The butterflies were everywhere, turquoise and gold, maroon and dazzling green, some of them as large as dinner plates, fluttering between the flowering shrubs that covered so much of the ground in the clearings.
No sign of the Vikings, Ryan.
If they came over the top on a different path, they'll likely not come at us until we reach that river near the Freezy Center.
Can we try and find a sidetrack?
Yeah, but I guess we could be lost within 50 strides. Jungle like this seems to grow while you watch it.
Whew. Ryan, can we take a break? Doc's kind of frayed around the edges.
If you want a rest, madam, then I suggest you ask for one for yourself. I can keep going as long as you can.
Ryan grinned at Doc.
So you don't mind if we don't take a halt?
The old man shrugged his shoulders with a studied casualness.
A matter of scant concern to me, my dear fellow. But if the good lady here is feeling a touch frail...
Whew.
Mildred flopped to the ground and lay on her back, staring up at the sky through the thick green leaves.
All right, Doc. I'm bushed. At least I'm man enough to admit it.
Doc folded himself beside her.
I would confess that the heat is somewhat oppressive. How long before we reach the water, Ryan?
It's late morning. I recall the river's not that far from here. But we have to be real careful.
Killer fishes?
Jack tugged at the strands of hair that had become pasted across his face with perspiration.
A place like this could have fish, insects, animals, birds, snakes. You get the idea, folks. Just be careful about everything.
Listen.
What?
Thought I... Quiet, everyone.
Christy held up her hand, her head on one side.
Behind us?
No.
Ahead? Side?
Christy shook her head in irritation.
Can't tell. I can hear the river close now, but I heard something else.
But it wasn't behind us. You're sure on that?
Yeah, I think so. But I can't swear to it. Guess it might have been a deer or something moving through the brush.
Patrol red. Mildred, that means
my mother didn't raise any stupid children, Ryan.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. I go first, JB comes last, Jack second, then you, Doc and Christy at 4 and 5. Blaster's ready.
I'll be damned glad when you get me a decent gun, Ryan. I mean, I never was much into the NRA and all that God-given right-to-bear-arms stuff, but I sure as hell feel naked without something on my hip around here.
They soon arrived at the river. One thing Ryan had noticed was that the swath cut through the jungle by the marauding army of ants had almost totally disappeared under fresh green growth. From there to the ruins of the Wendigo Institute of Botanical Research, incorporating the Blackwood Center for Chemical and Neurological Research Military Division with the Shelley Cryonic Institute private, wasn't all that far. They saw few signs of life. A glimpse of what could have been a small pig or a large rodent scurrying about its business, rooting among the leaf mold, fresh, seeping tracks of a massive snake winding sinuously across their trail, so recent that water still oozed into the long furrows. As they moved down from the higher part of the mountain, they'd seen a lot of birds, including bright parakeets and tiny, darting budgerigars. But in the past 10 minutes, the birds had disappeared, and the vast tract of jungle had fallen silent. Ryan held up his hand again.
Got a feeling there's company around.
We don't have a lot of time to wait them out. We need water. If they hold the river, we're in serious trouble.
Can't we loop around them if they're near that small bridge?
Ryan shook his head.
One way or another, we have to get over the river. I'm not going to try swimming it. I'll go ahead on my own. See if I can spring the trap. The rest of you stay close, but not too close.
We got double blast on them. Chill them up front.
No. If it's Yoren and the rest of his men, they'll have picked up all their blasters from the villa on the way through. If we'd had time, I'd have gotten them and heaved them all in the lake. The Vikings could have got over the ridge before the worst of the weather.
JB agreed.
And in this kind of hostile terrain, they could be dug in well. Sure, we got the firepower, Jack, but we won't have the chance to maximize it. Time and place gives them the advantage over us. Ryan's right.
Why can we not attempt to sneak up behind them and ambush the ambushers? Hoist them with their own petard, as it were.
Look at you, Doc. Look at Mildred. Look at all of us. We're real tired. A tired man makes mistakes. Make a mistake in this forest, and it's your last. No, I'll go ahead. JB, give me a word.
The two men stood together, talking quietly and earnestly. JB took off his glasses, wiped them on his sleeve, looked up at the pink sky through them, then replaced them on the narrow bridge of his nose. He burrowed his hand into one of his deep pants pockets, then gave something to Ryan. Ryan took it and nodded, and they walked back to the others.
This is it.